Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. My name is Matt Key, and today we're going to talk about the Logan trailer and a lot of other stuff, so sit right there, we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
I'm really bad at it.
Come on!
Welcome to it. Welcome to how bad I am at leading the show. But we have fun. Hey everybody, I am Matt Key, and we are not joined, as you can see, by Coy Armakia. We are joined by Matt Cook and Brittany Womack.
Hey.
Hi.
So, Coy is out of town. He's driving his brand new car home as we speak. He's taking a big cross-country road trip home.
What kind of car do you get?
A cherry red Mini Cooper.
You know, off-road vehicle.
Yeah.
I didn't say he was off-roading all the way home. That's from amazing. The East Coast. But yeah, I think he's in like Boston and he's Mini Coopering.
I love that. All I love Coy. We'll see you soon, Coy. Drive safe.
Yeah.
He'll be back next week. And Marquis had to work. You're putting under work today.
Yeah.
Over at the Groundlings.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you.
Mm-hmm. I had to free up a chair. I'm too excited about Logan.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a really good trailer. Anyway, we're gonna get to that later. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 115, coming to you live from Weapon X. I thought Weapon X was appropriate. Right? The Adirondack?
Weapon X facility.
Maybe. Weapon X facility,
you know,
sure.
I mean, we didn't say Weapon X, not the person. Come on, Matt.
Literally inside, like inner space inside
him. We're not the person.
Well, I thought you were into this stuff. You should know the difference.
We tell you all the news from all the studios.
Why should
get out,
Cook. Cookie's back, yay! Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork. You can also find us on their website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com, on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk or on Facebook / Marvel News Show. How did I do? Did I get through all
great.
That really
great.
Well? Good.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. We're joined by the one, the only, the indomitable Matt Cook.
Hi.
Welcome back, sir.
Thanks
what's your
for
email?
Me.
Or not your email.
My
your
email,
Twitter?
My personal email.
Yeah, what's your address? Can you give us your address?
At Matt Cook
size?
Tweeted.
Great. And my lovely
newlywed
wife.
Nepotism in the house. Hey.
We get paid so much for this. Let me just tell you, I couldn't wait to get her on the payroll. Brittany Wallach.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for finally being on my show.
Oh, you're welcome.
I know you like to troll the YouTube comments.
I really
sometimes
do. So hi chat room today.
now you're like troll, like in person trolling.
Yeah, and I never mean my jokes, guys. I'm always just trolling you, being funny.
I just trolling.
Now I gotta do it in person.
Just trolling. Matt Cook, you were on the People's Choice Awards. We saw.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
That
Man
amazing.
With a Plan yeah. won favorite new comedy.
That's seriously so cool.
It was awesome.
It's amazing because it's not even that funny of a show.
Oh, honey.
Oh, no.
I know. We really, I don't know how we snuck in. No, it was so fun. It was so weird. And it was a really cool experience. I've never been to anything like that.
Yeah, it was so fun to watch. Like I was like riveted. Like I was hooked on Facebook. Like, when's Matt Cook gonna do some, like post some more pictures?
My family exploded.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
It was
easily.
Crazy.
Yeah. Are your parents the kind they're like, oh, did you see this person? Even though they're either like not involved with television, or do they ask a million questions, or are they pretty well versed?
They just keep sending me invoices, which is really upsetting, but. Fair, I guess.
All that back rent. All
yeah,
that,
yeah
all
really.
That,
yeah, yeah the 20 years.
Groceries.
20,
like
20 years of being
cakes
a child.
And stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys.
I thought that was a present.
No, my parents were very excited and everybody. I mean, my whole family was like, wait, okay. Like my one cousin, he's like, what did The Rock got bleeped out? What did he actually say to Kevin Hart? And I was like,
oh my God.
You know, he said that bomb and all that.
Yeah.
So
you were
fun.
There. You know what he
I
said.
I was in it. I lived
they
it, Dottie.
They shared their script with me.
Yeah. It was so fun. It was trippy and cool and
so
it was
cool.
Fun.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there's that one picture
so
of you with Matt LeBlanc in front.
Yeah.
And Kevin Nealon and then you. I was just like, oh man.
You were beaming.
Yeah.
You Matt, so
I was like, I was having too much fun and they were just like doing like handsome Hollywood man face.
Yeah.
And I'm in the back like just like my face is splitting and I was smiling
it
too
was
hard.
Like it almost made me cry to see how happy you were and to know how hard you've worked. Like I know how hard you've worked to get there. That's not easy to do. So
well,
congratulations.
I'll make you cry next time.
Thank you. Anyway, we no longer have Doom in the booth, but we have a new engineer named Anthony.
Hi,
Hello, Anthony.
Hello, guys. guys. How's it going?
Awesome.
Good. Thank you for doing our show today.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to do your show.
all right. So we're going to jump right into the news. And Cook, I did this specifically for you. I decided to lead with Spider-Man news.
Good. You got to keep me engaged.
No, I know. Because if I don't, you'll tune out real fast.
Yeah.
So we got some Spider-Man Homecoming. It's nothing huge, but we do have... Tom Holland talked with Shortlist magazine, I believe in Britain, saying that, talking about Flash Thompson. This is kind of the first news we've had about Flash Thompson. We have a picture of him. Anthony, if we could show him, you've got it pulled up right there. This is Tony Revolori as Flash Thompson. It'll be coming up in a second. But the quote from Tom Holland is, American high schools are so different to British ones. Bullying wasn't really a thing, so when they cast Flash Thompson, they knew they didn't need a 6'5" jock to beat Peter Parker up. They needed a rich, smug kid commenting on how bad his trainers were. Mm. I like that.
That's love that.
I love that too, Matt Cook.
All right. I think that's so fun. I think especially with the social climate of schools today, like give Flash money and make him a rich, entitled jerk.
Just jerk
him. Yeah, and it puts so much more weight on Spider-Man having to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's like, dude, I can take your head off.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like Malfoy.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Malfoy sort of character, which I think Draco is sometimes worse than just a physical, like, jock.
Yep.
Because they can outthink you, and you're like, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of a spirit, like, it's spiritually crushing, because we know, like... Poor Peter, like, lives in the projects, like, with
his Aunt
May. He's
already kind of ashamed
of
his lifestyle.
Yeah, like, when we saw him in Civil War, like, Tony Stark was like, where'd you get that computer? He's like, oh, I made it from the dumpster. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, he's poor. Like, the only reason he's there is because Tony Stark is paid for him to go to this school. And then you've got, Flash Thompson, like, oh, your sneakers suck.
Yeah.
You're awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Peter Parker is going to get hit, like... on all sides. So, anyways,
as it should be.
Yeah, but you know, there's precedent in the comics for, like, Flash Thompson wasn't, like, poor in the comics either.
No.
Like, he was typically, like, doing relatively well.
But it's great because that's something that he can't dodge.
Yeah,
like that's makes really it so smart. Dangerous and so the weight of it so heavy is that he can't. He spider sense all day, but a good zinger lands every time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't dodge it. Like, that's great.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good point.
It's the only
point.
Way to hurt
what
him at that point.
What if he did have a spider sense for, like, what you were about to say?
Your mother.
Yeah, right.
Oh, how'd you know?
Exactly. Yeah. He responds beforehand.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Just the worst dude at a party.
Yeah.
The worst X-Man ever.
Actually,
his mutant abilities. Like, you get jumped the punchline.
That's his name, Punchline.
Yeah.
Oh, Punchline!
I didn't even get through the setup. It wasn't even funny now, jerk.
So we also got news last week that the animated Spider-Man feature that we knew was coming, and we all guessed that it would be Miles Morales, we now have confirmation 100% that it is indeed Miles Morales.
That's awesome.
It's so exciting.
I'm really excited.
Cool.
So that comes out, according to Sony Entertainment, who tweeted... Experience the upcoming standalone animated Spider-Man feature directed by Bob Pereschetti and Peter Ramsey in theaters 12/21/18. So December of next year is when we get to see that. It's being directed by Philip Lord and... it was written by Philip Lord and Chris Miller, who...
Great.
Yeah. Like, we love those. Last Man on Earth.
Yep.
Lego Movie.
Yeah.
Which was 1,000 times better than it had any right to be. Like,
so good.
Like, I didn't cry at that movie. Did you? You didn't cry. None of us cried at that movie.
I cried little bricks. It hurt so much.
Phil and Chris stated that the film has a lot of heart, a lot of action, and a lot of laughs. This was at something called Sony Animation Day, where they just outlined a lot of their animated fare. But the only thing that we care about on our show is the Spider-Man feature with Miles Morales.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. Now, here's my question. Just because they're doing it in animation, does that mean that they can't do Miles Morales in live action?
I don't think it means that, but I don't think it means that they can't, but I would assume that they won't.
Sure. That's fair.
Because I feel like the crossover would be
a little weird.
A little weird.
Yeah.
But I encourage them to try.
Yeah.
The more Spider-Man, the better.
I know. I really want to see Miles Morales, like... on the big screen, like, embodied on the big screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited about that, so.
And I love that suit. It's such a good design. It's
such a good suit.
It's so cool. And the whole character's great, but yeah, that's so exciting.
Well, and like currently, like in the comics, like I feel that Miles Morales has really fully taken the place of Peter Parker. Like he's the Peter Parker that Peter Parker always was, that Peter Parker no longer is on the comics, if that makes any sense.
To me.
Very complicated way of saying it, but yes.
Well, you're married to me. You know that I don't know how to say things in an uncomplicated way. So, Matt Cook, before we move away from Spider-Man, is there anything else you want to add?
I can't wait. Like, hurry. That's it.
And we get Spider-Man Homecoming. When is that? July, I think?
July, right around my birthday.
Right after July 4th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it, like, actually is Comic-Con weekend, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, my God.
Out. Yeah. It's the weekend, but maybe it's the weekend before, but it's, like, within a week of Comic-Con, I think.
I can't wait. Somebody on Instagram or something, somebody put up, like, the still of him running up the monument.
Yeah.
And I can't get over how much I love the way it looks.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Yeah. I love it. And it's daylight, and it looks like he's really doing it. Like, it's just, I don't know. Daylight is, I think, important. That it's the tone of the film is so bright in the things that we've seen. And I don't know. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think it's
important. It's stupid to be excited about daylight. But
no, it's legitimately not, because Spider-Man is a hero who fights in the day. Like, we can see him fighting during the day. Like, there's no...
And I'm just tired of darkness and all that.
For Spider-Man.
He doesn't just do 9-to-5.
He's not a 9-to-5 hero. No. it's interesting. I think I remember reading something about Batman, how, like... initially, like, he would be written during the daytime. Like, this is when he was first coming out. Mm-hmm. And the artist... I think Bill Finger was the art. No, I can't remember. Man, I'm getting it all mixed up. The artist refused to draw Batman during the day. Like, he drew everything at night.
Really?
Like, just to get in that mood. Even when the script was like, Batman, day, he's like, nah, it's night.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's
I thought you literally meant he would not write it. I was like, that's a horrible schedule to keep. Midnight.
That's what made me excited candlelit. About the story.
I was like, tell me more.
Sleeps
upside down all day.
I've let everybody down with that
story.
Was he
overlooking a cityscape on a skyscraper?
He would. He only drew his work from a gargoyle 35 stories up.
That's why it's all jagged. Really terrible lines.
So let's move on to Black Panther, where we have our first on-set picks from the set. It's only been filming for a week or two, as far as I remember. But the pictures confirm that Martin Freeman is reprising his role as Everett Ross, which... We barely saw any of him in Civil War, but he was perfectly smug government agent for, like, the terrorist task force or whatever they created for him.
What do you guys, please.
What's
step
that?
Step out of line. Whenever that line is, when he's like, please step out of line. Whatever little thing. Just, please.
Step out of line. Yeah.
I love him so much.
He's a great actor.
I cannot wait. I'm so glad we're going to get more.
Yeah, and I love knowing that he's going to be with Black Panther the way he was in the Christopher Priest run back in the late 90s. Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Like, if they can do a shot of Martin Freeman as Everett Ross with his, like, in just his, like, underwear up on a up on a toilet with a gun scared, I'll be, like, that's the first, no, you're laughing.
I know, it's just very so specific.
But that's the first frame that we ever meet Everett Ross is him terrified on top of a toilet with his pants off.
Terrified of what?
I think he's terrified of, like, a mouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's like a character. It's showing how, like, weak
But, like, he's also scared in the bathroom, I think maybe hiding from a devil character as well.
Oh, a mouse. You're also a devil.
Stories suck today. What's happening over there?
I don't know.
He's so excited to see you. He's trying to show off. Okay. He's like, when cats haven't seen you in a while, they're like,
I'm like,
what can I do?
I'm like barking at the door right now. like, daddy's home. Hey. So we've got Chadwick Boseman. Anthony, can you throw that picture up just any of them, really? Or any of them? There we go. Yeah, let's see here. That's Danae Gurira. She was photographed, and she has a newly shaved head. You may not recognize her from The Walking Dead without her beautiful, incredible dreads. But here she has a shaved head, and she's got a tattoo on the head.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard to see, like, especially with the lights on it. And then we've got Lupita Nyong'o playing Nakia.
I love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
Love her. Both Nakia and Danae are... is it Danae? D-A-N-A-I. Am I saying it? Danae?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But they're both playing members of the Dora Milaje.
Awesome. Which are, for those who don't know...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm asking you because I think you'll know better. I mean, I think I know, but
I thought you were about to actually eat.
No,
other.
I was prompting him.
The Dora Milaje are, they watch over the Black Panther. Like,
like the Royal Guards.
Yeah, they're like Royal Guards for the Black Panther. They're also sort of like, maybe like a lady in waiting or like the unofficial brides to the Black Panther, but like no romance or like intimacy ever happens, but they just consider themselves kind of wives in a way. It's a very ceremonial position, but they're also like some of the more badass fighters you're ever going to find in the Marvel universe.
And awesome. Like, I cannot wait to see that happen.
Oh my god. And they surround an even more badass fighter. Yeah. Like, like just the threat of like three of these people walking into a room is so funny.
Such a great posse. Just walking in.
Wakanda is such a cool, like everything they've built, that whole story,
yeah,
and the things involved and the people involved, like it's so exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Cannot wait
for
it.
And that cast is amazing, and it's gonna look. I mean,
it's like it's. I mean, the cast for Doctor Strange was incredible, and then they came out with the cast. Then they came out with the cast for Black Panther, and it's like, oh my god! Like Marvel just,
yeah,
Marvel is cashing in on how big they are now.
It's so cool.
I love it. Like. I mean, why am I forgetting her name? The plays Captain Marvel. She won an Oscar.
Oh,
like,
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Won an Oscar. Now she's like Captain Marvel. Like, that's so awesome to me.
It's so cool.
She won an Oscar. So now we've got, let's move on to Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, where we've got three new Lego sets.
I think this is great news. You were saying earlier this is not that great. I think it's great.
Well, I'm excited for it because Lego never fails to show you something that's in the movie. Like, with the exception of the Doctor Strange set, where it's like, here's a portal beast that didn't happen.
I'm glad they didn't ruin anything,
though. Yeah, so am I. But this is all, like, Ravager attack, Aisha's revenge, and the Milano versus the Obelisk. And those are all scenes that we know are in the movie. So, like... Yeah. Seeing, like, just the Lego sets is like, oh, so, like, they're on a planet when this happens. Oh, you know, like, it kind of contextualizes it.
We need to buy shelves just to buy these. We literally have no room in the home.
Yeah, we do not.
So cool.
We do not, yeah.
Oh, so cute.
But that's, so that's the Milano versus the Obelisk. Mm-hmm. The Obelisk is that big, weird portal beast at the beginning. Mm-hmm. If I remember from Comic-Con correctly, the Obelisk is threatening Aisha's people, the Sovereign race. And she contacts the Guardians to help.
I remember that.
Defeat it.
Yeah. Let me correct you, Matt Key. I know more than you.
Get him. Get him.
Please do.
I find your statement correct.
You're not correcting me. You're validating it. But I mean, again, you can't really tell a whole lot from these. And they're not as spoilery as some of them have been in the past. Like the Age of Ultron Legos were... super spoiler in my if
really
I, yeah they really were like they were like
I don't remember
like one of them was like Ultron attacks Avengers Tower and it's like whoa why
yeah.
like it's
and like stuff they, like didn't that didn't they yeah. kind of ruin Ant-Man for like Giant
no,
Man
no they did Civil War they had Giant
that's
Man
right.
at the airport
that's right Ooh. Yeah
I like
yeah.
actually like when I got to interview
that
the Russo brothers
bad,
last year
yeah.
at New Orleans I was like hey so there's a Lego set with Giant Man and they were like yeah we can't comment on that
oh man
so
I hate it when they do that I understand toys have to come out at a certain time but
yeah
man Just like, give me a day.
Yeah.
Like, just one day.
Just one day and then release the toys. So we got
Great.
We got that. Infinity War, let's move on. Do you guys have anything else you want to add in?
No.
The Guardians of the Galaxy?
I can't wait to build them.
Lego, send us those,
yes, please.
We'll talk about them more.
I'll give you good press. You need it, Lego.
Yeah.
Infinity War started filming yesterday. The Russos commemorated the event by showing a picture of all of the cast trailers.
The Star Wagons.
It looked cool, and it was stormy.
Yeah, I didn't pull that picture.
There's one wagon for every Infinity Stone. It just needs. They're very demanding.
On top of all the actors and
very demanding.
The
they keep getting like slowly pulled together. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh no!
Why do these keep moving?
Why are they all gathering around Josh Brolin's trailer? So, anyway, that's exciting, and hopefully we'll start seeing some pictures come out soon. Karen Gillan confirmed that she's in the film, which we are all like, oh, Guardians are going to be in the film, but I think we all kind of had this thought of, Like, yeah, Star-Lord, Rocket, mm-hmm. like the super core members right. of the Guardians, but no, Karen Gillan, in fact...
Well, it makes sense, it's one of the daughters.
Exactly, and what the quote that she had was, I'll be making a little appearance in the next Avengers movie, saying that's a BBB to BBC.
Oh, God.
But then she went on to say she's quite pleased with how much she gets to do. Like, just a little like...
That's cool.
Oh, well... What is
that's such a polite? What does that mean, that's Karen such Gillan? Like a nice, like, polite. I'm quite pleased with how much I get to do.
She's doing craft services.
No, she's doing crafty. No. Yeah.
But that, like, if you remember from the Infinity Gauntlet comic, I think it was like issue 7, she actually gets the gauntlet from Thanos mm-hmm. and wields it herself.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't go well.
But then she can't handle how the godhood of it. And Adam Warlock has to kind of, like, rescue her from herself in a way, so...
Literally, I think in, like, 3 panels, she's like, ugh, short circuit!
Yeah. Oh my god, the power's too great!
Yeah.
So that leads me to wonder, like, as a daughter of Thanos, do she and Gamora somehow find a way to get close, and then Nebula... Like, are they actually doing that in the movie? Which
I think it would be kind of cool. Or initially... In the first Guardians, Gamora tries to, like, reason with her. And she's like, you have to help us. And there's mm-hmm. that spark mm-hmm. of her almost going for it. So I think that will be a continued storyline.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next Guardians. Mm-hmm. And certainly in Infinity War, it would seem, that she would maybe try to be like, all right,
I'm gonna
come
help.
Here, Pops. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. it's time for me to have words with
Let's
you.
Let's work this out.
And then, you know, really she's cool. a screw-up and it doesn't go well. Again, you know, this poor girl.
This
bionic
experimented on girl.
Yeah. But that's exciting. I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Like I didn't connect with Nebula as in the first movie as much as some people did. Like, some people were all about the character. I like the character. And I like Karen Gillan's
she just wasn't in it
performance
very much.
Of it. She just wasn't in it as much.
And I don't
much.
Mean that as a bad thing necessarily. Just,
no.
She wasn't given time to shine or really develop a huge character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But I would love to see them explore that more. Like, you know, the sister relationship, like, coming from, like so much not a home that it can't even be a broken home. Like, it's just, like, just abused, these two abused girls who grew up being abused together. Like,
yeah, major daddy issues.
Yeah,
like, the ultimate
yeah.
daddy
like
issues.
Ultimate daddy
issues.
Yeah.
yeah.
You think your dad's bad. Mine wants to
yeah,
destroy
right.
the universe
Literally.
For death.
Yeah. like, destroy his own planet.
Yeah.
Because he had a bad day.
yeah. So Peter Dinklage news just coming in over the Peter Dinklage wire. He was rumored by Variety.
Did you miss him? Yeah, right.
That
you
made
missed
me
it.
Laugh.
Yeah.
It was rumored by Variety a couple weeks ago that Peter Dinklage was in talks to be in the next 2 Infinity War films, and that created a lot of speculation. We speculated on our show. I'm dying for him to be Uatu the Watcher, but I don't know who owns those rights. I think probably Marvel shares them, but I don't know. I was like, please be the Watcher. That would be the most incredible thing ever for Peter Dinklage to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe Watcher, and for him to stand like 7 stories tall above the Avengers and be like, oh, I'm watching. I would love that. But
it doesn't seem so.
It does not seem to be the case, as he was caught in a London salon getting his hair reddened up.
He's got a lot of hair. He's got good looking hair.
He's got quite the coif.
So what would that mean then?
Pip the Troll.
That's, I mean, yeah.
Which,
but also, then where's Adam?
I know.
And
where's
that
Adam Warlock?
Looks like an Adam Warlock cut.
Oh, ooh.
That looks like
that
the Adam
awesome.
Warlock.
Do you think
classic?
That,
like,
do you think?
I don't know.
Dinklage could be Adam
be
Warlock.
Amazing.
That would be amazing.
Be
Why not? I feel like Pip the Troll
so
for a little
knows.
Person is a little
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
I don't think you need it.
Yeah.
But I, which is what I was leaning towards too. But that looks like Adam Warlock's hair. To me, like the way that's shaped, that's the only time I've ever seen that haircut.
Yeah.
Is that and like bad ads from the 70s? You know what I mean? like that looks like that. But also, I would love him to be. I mean, Pip the Troll, I think, is a really fun character that I think he could do really well.
Oh, he could. It's Tyrion, but just like turned up and like not as sharp as Tyrion, like basically.
So I don't know, but that until I just saw that haircut, I'm leaning towards Adam Warlock, but I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about Adam Warlock, to be fair, to be honest, but I would love to see him do not want him to be Pip the Troll, because I feel like that's so on the nose. And I don't think that Peter Dinklage wants to play, like, a role that's, like, typically designated for a little person. Like,
I know.
Like, yeah, but I mean, if it's, I mean, if it's done
well,
respectively, not like, oh, you're just a Santa's elf, or you're just a this, you're just a that. I mean, even in the movie Elf, that was the joke that, that.
But, like, he, like, he was more than just that, you know?
That's
like,
what
he
I
was
mean,
way
yeah.
more than that, yeah, so.
It'll be interesting. Anyway, he's a
I think they would do it respectfully.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. And then for everybody that's at home watching or wherever you are watching, preferably not driving, and are in the chat with us and keeping up to date, there is a real-life troll that's been hanging on real hard. And I just want to say from all of us to all of you who are respectful, awesome humans, thanks for being great.
Yeah, cool.
Just ignore that troll. We've got our guy in the booth, Anthony, is working to just erase that person.
Oh,
from...
is there a troll in the chat?
Yeah, sorry to be negative.
Real
also.
Hard.
This guy was...
why is he trolling?
But it's also,
guy's just having a bad day.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a weird... But it's also, like, poorly spelled and awkwardly aimed.
I think he probably has mostly bad days, to
be
fair.
Yeah. So, for everybody who's awesome, keep on being awesome. For the troll... Good luck, bud. I hope things, you know, brighten up for you. Anyway, that's that. We're working on it, but don't give them any more food. just ignore
them. Don't feed
him.
The trolls.
Yeah.
Don't feed
them.
Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. Nice. Thanks. Gone?
Yeah. Nice.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Anthony.
Bump, bump,
well
bump.
Done. Well done. All right.
Thanks, team, for hanging in there and putting up with that garbage.
Now, let's move on. And let's talk business.
Yes, please.
Because our show has to get sponsors. So, yes.
Actual business.
Actual business.
These are actually really cool, though.
Yeah.
And I get to talk to you about two wonderful products today, both of which I very much like. Forgive me for having the script in front of me, but there are things that I want to get specifics out to you. Blue Apron is a food company, and they'll send food directly to your door. They are affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. We've tried it. They allowed us to try it for free, and it is exactly that.
I'm going to do it.
That's so rad.
No, I meant to do it after the last time I was on, and then I forgot.
And it's great
awesome.
For lazy people like me. It's really great.
That's me. The Trader Joe's freezer section is going to be so bummed.
Yeah.
The people stop thinking about, why is there so much frozen chicken tikka masala?
Oh, man. Don't even.
Honey.
We need to do a whole new show on that. It's my favorite snack.
It really is.
Anyway,
oh,
Blue Apron.
Yeah, yeah. This sounds great.
It's easy. It's flexible. They have a gigantic variety of stuff to choose from. You just go to their website, find the meals that you want, and they prepackage it and send it right
that
to you
so
with
cool.
all the instructions in the world. And they're like, hey, you get this chicken, you fry it at this temperature in this kind of pan, and this oil in it, and it's done. Like, it's done. And here's the chicken and everything that you need for it. You don't have to go to the store. It comes straight to your door. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free. This just in on the Blue Apron wire. Did I kill it?
You killed it.
How did I get it for free? I'm really excited about this.
You get your three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Marvel.
Yay!
Type in like blueapron.com.
Go do that.
Marvel. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. What are you laughing at?
Just you, like, determined to get the sound effects in, like,
under
back.
Control.
Like, you had the one, like, you got real lucky with the Peter Dinklage wire. Then you tried it again, and we were like, don't do that. No. And now you're like, ding, boom,
you're cut
zonk.
Off. You're cut off.
Still cool? And it's making
still,
me laugh.
Still cool? I like the face that you make when
we,
you make fun of me.
We
like,
good,
still
guys?
Cool? We good? Are we still friends? Blue Apron, do it.
Great.
It's good food. It's delicious
food. I'm going
to. I would like to take a moment to tell you about the wonderful Movement and Watches, MVMT.
They're seriously really nice.
Ooh, that's sharp.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Really, really good watches. They are the Blue Apron of watches. I don't know what that...
And you actually...
As in, like, they're delicious watches.
And you didn't wear watches until you got
really
one
don't.
Of these, and
I really,
really
don't.
Nice.
I haven't been a watch guy since college, and the only reason I was a watch guy in college because we didn't have cell phones when I was in college.
But seriously,
I'm so old.
Yeah.
But it went so well with our promotions last year went so well, they decided to give us another round of free watches. So,
that's beautiful.
I ordered the Denali. I am a large man, so I have to get this resized.
I don't know if you've noticed. I'm a large man.
I am a giant, so I need to get it resized. However, they send you links so that you can get it resized without having to get
really
links
beautiful
and everything.
Watch,
it's a great watch. Very legitimately, I'm not a watch guy. And then they were like, hey, we want to sponsor your show. And I was like, sure, all right,
that sounds fun.
And then now I'm like...
Wait, let me see it.
Now I'm like an actual watch guy, and it comes in these beautiful boxes and everything. And Koi was a customer of MVMT watches before they were sponsoring our show. So it was even better for him.
This is beautiful.
But movement watches were founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. Their goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary products. Or prices. Sorry, I misread that.
It's hard for large men to read such small print.
It is beneath me.
I was distracted. I was like, oh, man.
You were worried I was going to pocket that watch.
I was like, oh, man, he's going to pocket that watch. He's going to make it a pocket watch. There were over 500,000 watches have been sold in over 160 countries. Movement watches start at just $95. And, like, in a department store, you're looking for, like, $400 to $500. Anyway, get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. By going to mvmtwatches.com/Marvel. So what are you
awesome.
Laughing?
Somebody in the chat just giggling. Said Andy Dick for MODOK, and yeah. It broke me.
Andre Rodriguez writes, Andy Dick or Carrot Top for MODOK.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
That'd be great, because he could just do a bunch of prop comedy, and Andy Dick just makes a bunch of, you know.
To be fair, that picture of Peter Dinklage could be him as George Templeton before he or Tarleton before he turns into MODOK.
Yeah, that's very fair.
God, him as MODOK. I mean.
Why would they, what do you mean, Matt? Why would they do, what?
That's very
They're going to do all of that work. They're going to be like,
that.
Here's this guy, yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean?
He has to be a scientist before he's
No, because then they're like, what the hell is Boulevard Trask doing in this? You're not. He's not going to look anything.
Oh, goodness. All right.
I'm still a little mad at Peter Dinklage about Destiny, but that's a separate thing.
Destiny?
Yeah, he was the voice of the ghost when it first came out, and it was like, and it was.
Was it not
shocking?
Good?
No.
Oh.
They took it out. They actually they did a whole patch where they replaced his voice.
Wow.
Guys, we've got some really great recasting choices right now going on in the chat.
Hold on.
You want me to finish your thing? I really want to read these.
Movement watches, you definitely should check them out. Again, that is 50% off today with free shipping and free returns. If you're like, you get the watch and you're like, you know what? Not what I was looking for. I'd like to get a different watch. Send it back in for free. You go to mvmtwatches.com/Marvel. And you're going to like legit.
Very cool watches, yeah.
Yeah. I never wore a watch until I got this. Now, every day, I'm a watch guy. Anyway, you needed to go through
We've got some great casting choices, guys. Ben Foster for Nova, Gilbert Godfrey for MODOK. Then we've got Gary Busey for Nova.
For Nova?
Yeah,
I love that. Those teeth in that helmet. Can you imagine?
My personal favorite
those crazy teeth.
Is French Stewart for MODOK.
Love it.
Just so it looks squinty. MODOK. He bumps into things.
What was the name of the comedian in Rocket Man, that like late 90s comedy? Like
Harlan Williams?
Oh. No. Like,
yeah.
No, you're right.
Was he in Rocket Man?
Yeah.
He was the Rocket Man.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Are you thinking of the Rocketeer? I know I'm right.
Yeah.
No, I know I'm not talking about the Rocketeer. I'm talking about like Rocket Man, like that weird like Harlan.
He just literally just said that.
Harlan Williams.
All right,
I thought
you
said Robin Williams.
No, you jerk.
What?
All right, I'm gonna go scoop it up. I get to do that now. Skip that. Let's get back on track. Okay, what's up next? What are we talking about? What are we doing?
Well, right now we're gonna let Doom, who's no longer in our booth, but he still cannot help but talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey Doom.
He sent in a video to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So
awesome.
He's gonna
go, hey, Zach.
Go with that right now. Hi Zach.
All right, it's the 2 minute. The first one with for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh my God, I can see the counter counting me down. I only have a minute to go. I gotta talk about the Patriot. The version of Patriot that's on S.H.I.E.L.D. right now really took a step forward. Spoiler alert, he's not an Inhuman. And that ended up being a great step for his character because it humanized him. Ha. But what it really did is it brought his character to what we had known him as in the 616 universe.
Hurry up, Zach.
Is a government experiment made to replace, to serve a purpose, even though that's not really him. The character, it made perfect sense. If you go back through the season, it fits perfectly with everything that we've seen so far. It didn't feel like a twist that was forced. It felt like it was the right thing to do, even if it was a little bit predictable. Okay, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show tonight at 11. I'll see you there. Doom will be back next week.
I love to think that there's like a helicopter circling him the whole time. They're like, we gotta take this guy out for his opinions.
Where was he? Why was that the framing he chose?
I think
his Jeep.
We miss you, Zach.
Even his
we
Jeep?
Love you.
I love how much he loves that show. That's awesome. Makes me very happy.
I think that was at Geek and Sundry where he's
okay,
now.
Okay.
He's now engineering over there.
Hope you're happy over there.
Oh my God, I love it.
All right, now. We started with Spider-Man. We're going to start winding down with Iron Fist. I know that you're you're the biggest Iron Fist fan that I know.
Cool. And I'm not. I mean, I love it, but I'm mostly Immortal Iron Fist is my main.
Yeah. Matt Fraction started writing for it.
It's from that. I love that art. I love the way that whole thing looks.
Yeah. By the way, if you've not read any of Matt Fraction's work on
Anything, literally.
Yeah, he's great. He's one of the best right now. But his work on Iron Fist is fantastic.
It
completely redefined that character and brought him into like the modern era. And that was just like what, 2006, 2007?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite comics of all time.
That's like
the
Immortal Iron Fist, it is one of my favorite runs and it's one that I reread a lot.
What makes it so rereadable for you?
That there's one phrase where the seven capital cities of heaven are having an interdimensional kung fu tournament. That's all I really need.
You never needed it until it was there.
I read that. I was like, this is amazing.
It's
really fun. The art is beautiful. David Aja is one of my absolute favorite artists. And that combined with the storytelling... it's one of those partnerships between the writers and the artist that is perfect. Mm-hmm. And every now and then things just line up like that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them for me. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I agree. I had never read it before. I'd kind of just like written it off. I was like, oh yeah, Matt Fraction's writing. I'll get around to it eventually. And then you're like, no, you get to it now.
Yeah.
When Matt Cook tells you to do something.
And when Matt Cook says it. You jump.
You effing do it.
That's right. Yeah.
So I did it, and I was glad that I did. It's a fantastic read, and like I said, it completely redefines his entire mythology. In fact, I think we're probably going to see a lot of what happens in Iron Fist, the Netflix series, as well as in The Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably going to come from that, with like the Hand, the Crane Mother, the tournaments in Heaven. I think that's probably maybe a thing. I think that's all going to come out in the Netflix series coming out in March with Iron Fist, and then later in the year with Defenders.
And there's in the end of that run, it's very easy to replace certain characters with Daredevil and Jessica Jones because Luke Cage is present in the comic. But so, and well, Misty Knight's in it too, which now we have. It's very exciting. I am concerned. I'm a little nervous about the show.
What makes you concerned?
The tattoo. Really bad. Honestly, I'm sick of seeing his nipple.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't need any more nipple shots. Like the group shot of them,
nipple.
And he's like squatted down, and there's just like his shirt just kind of like
just right there.
It's always his left nipple. It's all like, get out of here. I don't need to see it. And there's no, it's just a weird, I don't know why it bugs me.
Because you can tell like, there's like tape underneath holding it. So they made the choice to expose that nipple.
It's so weird. And the tattoo doesn't do it. That tattoo better light up. man. It better glow, like, his hands, like, it should just emblaze it, just, like, boom, that would be cool.
I mean, maybe it wasn't, like, done rendering before they sent it out or something, but it just, the tattoo looked funky, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No,
I
feel it like looks like a Groucho Marx, like they use the same, like, grease mustache, and they're just like, rip, 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 rip.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a real tattoo.
No.
But to be fair, we've seen it for, like, 2 seconds.
Sure.
I mean, it's not, when it starts glowing, it'll probably be amazing, but.
Well, if it starts glowing, I don't know that it will.
I hope so, but it's even weird. I don't know, it just strikes me as weird. And so someone, I think you guys told me that he's been complaining about having to do fight scenes.
I have heard that, like,
so you sign up to be the Kung Fu master of the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And you are upset that you have to do fights?
I mean, who's saying that, though? Do we know that's true? Like,
I've heard rumors of that, but I've never confirmed it.
It could be one thing he said. He's like, man, I've worked out a lot today. And then some PA tells their friends and goes.
Fine. And
but
hope
it would
that's
suck to
case.
Hear that if that were true.
That's like, I still am mad at Alan Cumming for being upset about getting Nightcrawler makeup.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Shut up. Like, on the press tour for X-Men, he's like, the makeup's miserable. And he was, like, sort of really, like, down about it. And I'm like, you get to be Nightcrawler?
Yeah, right.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. And that's just me. And I get it.
Do you realize who Nightcrawler is?
That looks awful. And, like, all that amount of stuff. But I always get a little bit, like, whenever an actor's, like, complaining about their gig, I'm like, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You know what you do? Shut up.
Because you get to have an opinion on it, too.
And to be fair, that, I don't know if that's true about him. But what I love about Iron Fist is a lot of what I love about Spider-Man too is there's sort of a levity about it. There's mm-hmm. a brightness to the character, mm-hmm. and I don't want this to be some sad, gloomy, brooding crap. I don't think we need that.
I don't,
especially from Iron Fist.
I don't think it will.
Okay.
And here's why I say that. And quotes from Entertainment Weekly's issue last week,
mm-hmm.
Finn Jones has talked about how in Iron Fist, he's like very confused about where he is, like, because he's like just coming out of Kun Lun. He's heard how his mom and dad died. The Meachums are responsible. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. He's trying to figure stuff out. So he's like kind of just lashing out at everybody and everything around him. But then the Defenders. He is the lighthearted sort of like, hey, this is what's going on. We should be a team. So we're the other three characters are like, we're not a team. He's like, no, we should be a team. This is awesome. So I think...
Cool. That part I like.
So I think that some of those character traits will carry out, be seen in Iron Fist. So maybe his series will start off kind of a little bit dark, maybe. I don't know. But like, I think his character will be lighthearted at some level.
I hope so.
So.
I think it's cool. I always like that he's sort of aloof.
Yeah.
Like, charmingly aloof, but then also a kung fu master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, has this incredible power.
There's something, like, very eccentric about his character,
yeah.
I think.
Just, I think it's just sweet.
It's those nips.
And
there's the sweet nips.
The sweet, sweet nips.
The sweet nips.
Dude, you had the breeze caressing your nipples. You'd be smiling, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get
it. It just feels good.
So let's give the actual news for Iron Fist.
Go ahead.
The episode titles, according to Bleeding Cool, were revealed just a couple days ago. And as far as I can tell, every single one of these, I don't know that they're taken from the comics, but they all sound like kung fu moves from like the Book of the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Like, just to give you a couple examples, episode one, Snow Gives Way, Shadowhawk Takes Flight. Rolling Thunder Cannon Punch. In fact, I think I have a picture of him doing, like, where he's kicking Fat Cobra.
Yeah.
That's called, like, the Rolling Thunder Cannon Kick.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, like, all of these come, like, that one is Dragon and Tiger move as one. Like,
I love it. And that's such a cool part of the whole, you guys, if you can, read it.
Rolling Devil Dervish, Foot Hammer, Thunder Strike. Like, yeah, these are all names of, like, kung fu moves that are hard to master in the comics.
Do you think they'll break it up per episode that's what he's learning?
I think he's already, he already knows all of these.
Okay.
Like, I think that these are just clever titles.
Gotcha.
And
I think that'd be kind of a weird format. It's like,
yes,
one move at a time.
Iron Fist.
Do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
This show's really long. Oh my goodness. 10 minutes in.
He breaks, he finally, 55 minutes, it breaks the board.
Yes.
Credit.
You are the Iron Fist now. But here's what I like about this. I feel like this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek nod to the comics that makes it's encouraging to me that there's like
too.
This sort of like tongue-in-cheek, like, this one's called Snow Gives Way.
I don't even think it's tongue-in-cheek. I think it's I think it's so great and intentional for the character, and it makes me very excited.
Yeah.
And Snow Gives Way, if you know the Iron Fist thing, it's like Kunlun, the portal to get into Kunlun, which appears once every 10 years mm-hmm. on Earth, is hidden deep within the Himalayan mountains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's real hard to get to. I was going to say a bad word.
Yeah. But, thanks for catching yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It was really difficult.
Yeah,
I pulled my back out to prevent that. It's so Snow Gives Way. I think Snow Gives Way to the Immortal City.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff in this. Like, read some more because they're really good. But I don't think it's. I think it's very intentional, and I'm really excited about it.
Underleaf Pluck Lotus. Episode 6 is Immortal.
That sounds filthy.
Episode 6 is Immortal Emerges from Cave. Right. And episode 7 is Felling with Tree Roots, and roots is R-O-U-T-E-S, route, root. And that one is rated, and this is according to British rating, but that one is rated 18 for strong bloody violence.
Hmm.
Now here's why I bring that up. It's around episode 6 or 7 that the one dude dies in Luke Cage. I don't want to say it because that's a spoiler, but there's kind of a big...
Right.
Death reveal in Luke Cage, and that happens around episode 6 or 7. In Daredevil season 2, episode 6 or 7 is where Punisher ceases to be the main antagonist and Elektra starts to take over, and that's like, so Netflix divides each one of their seasons into kind of two halves.
It's a hard formula that they seem to follow.
Yeah.
With all of these, it's like episode 4 for me is when it's like, oh, now we have a show. Like, that's that's when it like launches.
Yeah. So episode 4 here is 8 Diagram Dragon Palm.
Hmm.
Great.
Well, so I want to, I'm sorry, I just want to, 18 for strong bloody violence for their big switch.
Great.
Yeah, so Brittany?
I just wanted to give a shout out to B. Harris 3 for my personal favorite episode title he made up, Flying Stink Face Nipple Twist. That's my that's a bonus episode if you watch through the credits.
That's their
thank you, B. Harris. That was really great.
That makes me laugh.
That's their gag reel. That's what they titled their gag reel.
Immortal Emerges from Cave.
Immortal Emerges from Cave is episode 6.
That's
so. Do you think that's where we get like the background on him?
I think that's when I think he's probably already, but I think it'll be back to the battle with the dragon.
So like we'll get a flashback to that.
I think so.
Like we'll allude to that off and on throughout the entirety of the series, but episode 6 is where we see him go into a cave, punch a dragon in the heart, and pull out an iron fist.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
God, if they do that, I will lose my mind.
Me too.
No matter how poorly they do it.
It's got to be like Dragonheart, the movie. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be Sean Connery.
You seek to punch my heart.
Even if they do it poorly, it will still be like, oh my God, they had Shu Lao, the undying.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do it poorly.
I don't
and
think
like, they kind of have either. To go mystical there, right? I mean, Jessica Jones. All the Netflix shows haven't been magical in one
this
way
is
or another.
The first
they
one.
Have to go
And
that
I think
way,
they
right?
held this one for the end, like the
to
last of the four, because they needed to establish the universe.
Do you think they did it post Doctor Strange for that same reason?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
So now, if they're dividing it into two halves, here's my prediction. The first half is Danny Rand coming back to New York City. We learn a little bit more about his origin in Kunlun, but we also see him dealing with Harold and Joy Meacham, the children to Harold Meacham. Ward and Joy are the children to Harold. Harold is the one who killed his mom and dad.
Mm.
So I think he comes back to town to deal with Harold Meacham, comes up against Ward and Joy as well. They're good guys, bad guys, allies, we don't know. Joy eventually becomes an ally, but Ward is always an antagonist to him. So I think episode 6 is where the Meacham storyline will fall away, and then episode 7
steps
is...
steps into the role.
The seven immortal cities of heaven, Steel Serpent, Crane Mother, all that stuff, and that will then lead into Defenders, I think. That's my prediction.
That'd be a great lead-up. That'd be very much a bomb of mystical, magical.
Here's all this mystical, magical stuff. Because we've seen a lot of, like, we've already seen the symbol of the Steel Serpent in the first season of Daredevil, and I think a little bit in the second season.
Yep.
I really think that Madame Gao, is it Gao? Mm-hmm. Is the Crane Mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think she then sends Steel Serpent and the Bride of Nine Spiders after
I love Danny these Rand. Names
They're so,
so
good.
They're so great. They're
Bride
so
of
fun.
Night Spiders.
And I want, if that if name. We get Fat Cobra, I will.
That's my favorite.
It would be so cool.
And what Dog Brother number?
Dog Brother number two. Number nine?
I think it's number nine.
Number
yeah.
nine.
Dog Brother number nine. Like what? Where's the other eight?
Where's the other eight?
Is there a ten? Yeah.
They're so cool.
That's my guess. And here's the other reason that's my guess. Episode 10 and episode 12 currently do not have their titles.
Interesting.
Given, which I think is
only 10 intentional. And 10 through 12 or 10 and 12?
10 and 12. Episode 11 is lead horse back to stable.
Interesting.
And episode 13, the very last of the season, is Dragon Plays with Fire.
That sounds like a really bad Netflix description for like a movie you want to watch at night. You're like, I want to watch something. Description: Dragon plays with fire. Oh, I guess I'll watch this.
Maybe I want to watch this.
I wonder if the titles are so spoilery that they won't release
that's,
them.
That's my guess.
Yeah,
is that they're such spoilers, but they're also in the second half of the season, mm-hmm. which is why I think that it's maybe a little bit more related to the Defenders and the Hand and
gotcha.
All that stuff. So
yeah.
I think it's Dog Brother number one.
I don't think it's number one.
I don't think so either, but that's what the internet's telling me.
Hmm. I wonder if number 10 says, here come the Defenders.
It's time to defend.
Yeah, exactly. Straight up.
Episode number 12 is, it's time for Defenders.
Spoiler.
That's a really weird kung fu name.
Oh, man.
All right. Any more Iron Fist before we move on to our big final story of Logan?
I'm good if you are.
I encourage everyone to read that Immortal Iron Fist.
Yeah, Matt Fraction, David Aja.
I love it.
Is it Aja? Aja?
I don't know.
It's AGA.
I love him too much to ever decide on one
yeah.
way to say it because I don't want to get it wrong. It was recently, I don't know if it still is, but Comixology had a huge Marvel sale, and I picked it up. I got the digital version too, so I could take it with me wherever I go.
It's that good.
Yeah,
and it really is that good. Like we're not just like,
it's really fun.
Fluffing it out.
Those,
it's really good.
Yeah, the moves, the names of mm-hmm. the moves are so cool.
All right,
and the way
that
they're drawn.
Chat wants to talk about Logan.
Logan.
Is calling for blood and Logan.
all right, so last Thursday. A new trailer number two came out for Logan. Logan comes out, I believe, March 7th. So we're just maybe 5 weeks away, I think.
That's
maybe
really exciting.
Six at most, which is great. And this is Logan's, this is Hugh Jackman's first or last portrayal of Logan. So he says he'll never take up the claws again. I'd also like to say that the 1974 frames of Logan, the postcards that came out, I finally got my postcard.
Today. Isn't that perfect?
I got it just today.
For those who don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's a picture of Professor X.
Get it
X.
out of my shot.
it's a picture of Professor X with guns on. It's that, like, the sonic cannon or the telepathic wave or whatever. So, finally got my postcard. We'll take a picture and send it later. But what were some of your favorite moments? Like favorite moments, what's concerns, what are you excited about? I know it's a broad question, but what, like, thoughts?
I've watched the trailer now so many times, mm-hmm. and I love all of it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for it. I think I'm going to be weeping.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a weight to this movie already. You give Professor X dementia, and dementia's so sad.
It's the worst.
But then you put someone like that, you know, Patrick Stewart portraying, like, already the two Wolverine and Professor X look so battered mm-hmm. in this movie. And okay, so that's one of my favorite parts is when they come to get the girl, and he's like, "What girl?" And they're like, "All right, come on, jerk." And then they go to fight, and Wolverine pops his claws, and he just gets his butt handed to him.
Yeah.
Like right out the gate. Like the fact that Wolverine is in such bad shape and he's so
fight,
old and his healing factor doesn't work. Like that's so exciting.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody does heartache better than Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
I think he's so good at just being devastated as an actor.
And you feel for him. You empathize.
Yeah. I'm so excited. But
well, it feels like there's real stakes too when it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see a little girl kick some butt.
Oh my God.
I don't know how you find stunt doubles for a girl. I mean, she's tiny, but
she's
that looks
Daphne
incredible.
Keane,
I just want to see a whole movie with that little girl just cutting people up.
Yeah.
Like, jeez.
And when she triggers, like her berserker rage, and the fact that everyone in the movie has to keep being like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Bad.
Yeah.
Spray her. No, no.
So, I want to go back to what you were saying a little bit about Hugh Jackman being able to pull off that sort of pathos and everything. He, in an interview with Digital Spy, I was going to talk about this later, but since you brought it up, he has a quote, early on, we had the idea for the title not having anything to do with Wolverine in it, but just being about the man and what the collateral damage of being Wolverine your entire life would be.
Oh, my God.
Like, think about it. He's been Wolverine since Civil War, I think we've established in the cinematic universe. This movie takes place around 2025, 2030. So he's now been Wolverine for 200 years. Almost. Like 180. Jeez,
yeah. When you put it like that, yeah.
And like his entire life has been, go out and kill. I'm going to take you over. Now we're going to genetically experiment on you. You're the perfect living weapon. Go out and kill some more.
Everyone I love dies.
Everyone I've ever loved has died in front of my eyes. I probably killed some of them. Probably. Like if they do if they borrow from the old man Logan story at all, his life is the worst life ever.
Yeah.
And he's still alive and he can't die.
Can't die.
And now, even if he does try to, like, even if his healing factor is kind of waning and he could possibly kill himself, he's got Professor X that he's like, I've got to protect this guy.
I've got to take care of him,
So now,
he's kind of insane.
Yeah, like, I think we're getting a Logan very much. He's not, like, necessarily, I don't think he's suicidal, but I think he's just like, I'm ready.
He's broken.
Like, he's broken.
And also with a slower healing factor, that means he hurts for longer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's true.
Like, it doesn't heal like it used to. It's not like a few, like, oh, God, that really hurts, and now I'm better. It's just, like, for a long time.
Yeah.
He's just down. It's so exciting. It reminds me in Astonishing X-Men, in one of the later runs when they're at the break world, and the ships that they're taking, when they get on those escape pods, and he's with armor, and it breaks, and they fall through the atmosphere, and he's not protected.
And he's just burning all the way through
And he's just burnt, and his whole, all of his skin is gone, and then armor is protected because she has her armor, and she's like, should we get going? And he's like, I need to grow back a nose first. Like, and you just see, like, you don't really see him, but you see just, like, pieces of and he's just muscle charred, and there's nothing left, and he has to wait. He's sitting still.
Let me get this jaw back in order.
Yeah, just waiting for it to come back. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool, too. Like, first of all, the TV show Heroes, I never liked, because I'm like, the X-Men did all of this better.
I actually never saw it.
And the girl, the cheerleader, was invulnerable, or she could heal, right?
Yeah.
But she didn't feel pain. Wolverine feels pain.
Everything.
Like, every time he pops his claws, it hurts.
And this is all coming from, this is all heals, and they're housed in here, and then they come through.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, yeah, it's a rough life.
How cool was that scene of the, little girl with her hand out? Just, like, riding, just with him.
Oh,
like,
my
I'm
God.
I'm just that as badass shot. As you, and it's all
and she's
bloody.
Got, like, her, like, little kid sunglasses
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and just, like, oh, I love that. I don't know why. Just, like, she can really, just from the trailer, it looks like she can really hold her own. I really believe, you know.
Which is saying something, because it's Hugh Jackman, who's been playing the role for 16 years now, with Patrick Stewart, like, one of the greatest actors of our, like, of our times, who's also played this role for 16 years.
I couldn't imagine how nervous I would be. Yeah, I'm 31 years old. How old do you think that actress is?
The little girl?
Yeah.
Oh, I think, she's a kid.
Yeah. Like,
but I don't even think she can wrap her head around it.
You don't think so?
Which I think is a good thing.
Probably, She, you know? She doesn't realize who she's with.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait to see it.
That, him going, not okay, at the beginning of the movie, and then stealing those cigars makes me so happy. Her, the scene where he's fighting in the woods and she jumps off his back and the two of them are in action together. I cannot wait.
That shot to me is the movie, because you've got, like, it's a movie about, like, being a parent. Like, it's not even just fatherhood, it's being a parent, how to care for a younger person,
to two people, almost being a parent,
like,
to
Xavier. He's also a parent to Xavier, who's trying to be a parent back to him, but he's so delusional probably that he's having a hard time. He probably only has, like, spells of it.
I can't handle, like, memory loss stories, dementia.
Yeah, you can't.
A trigger. I can't handle, like, memory loss or dementia stories, and I'll lose it.
And it's
hard. What do you mean you don't remember my birthday, Xavier?
It's so scary, and it's so sad. I mean, that stuff in real life is so sad, because you have the heartbreaking moments of clarity. It's like, so, you know what I mean? That's sort
you
of like,
see them come
you're
back.
There, and then they're gone. Man, oh, man.
Yeah, my grandmother, before she passed away, had Alzheimer's, and it was just like, it was so hard. I hated visiting her.
Yeah.
Like, I was like 10, and she would be like, now, when's Matthew coming around? And I'd be like, I'm right here, Grandma. She'd be like, oh, well, you're not Matthew.
Oh, this got
Matthew
sad. Let's like, not talk about this anymore.
Anyway, yeah.
Some more parts. What are your other favorite parts?
Oh, here's what I was saying. The film is about Wolverine discovering, or Logan discovering that he, like, is in some way a father. Like, whether that's because she's exactly like him, whether it's because she's a genetic clone, so he is technically her father.
Well, because they focus on that line. Xavier's like, very like you. You know, yeah, just yeah. Like, by the way, she was born in 2005. Let's just let that sink in for a second, guys.
No.
This sweet little girl, Daphne Keene, 2005.
Oh, my God. Yep. She's been alive less time than I've lived in Los Angeles.
Good for her, though.
Yeah, good for her.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So, but what this movie is about being a parent, taking care of someone, like generations, encouraging the next generation and all that. And you see Wolverine, you see Logan struggling with that the entire trailer. And he's hurt and he's bloodied and he's having to like save Professor X and he's having to save this girl, but she's just like feral and out of her mind. And then that last shot, you have Professor X having, what's his line? This is what life looks like. People mm-hmm. who love each other, a home. You should take a moment, feel it. You still have time. And he's saying that as you see him running through the woods, trying to keep her safe. She's doing the same for him. And then stab, stab, jump off, stab, stab. It's like, the family that slays together stays together. You know? Like it's,
he doesn't seem very like happy about it, though. He seems like, well, you know, like, I gotta do this.
I don't even think it's gotta do this. I think initially in the first trailer and this trailer, I think there's a real resistance on his part to allow anyone in emotionally.
Yeah. Because
like,
what
he can't
seen.
Afford to lose another person. Mm. He can't get close to anybody because he's going to lose him again.
And this
and he just
one
wants
along.
To be done. And then there's no choice.
And then there's no choice. I also think along those lines of him just wanting to be done, I don't think he sees himself as a role model. Like, for him, he's like, he's like, why would you want me to be your dad?
Yeah.
No, you should run as far away from me as you can. Yeah. Like,
Joshua Wright in the chat has a pretty good question. Do we think we'll wind up seeing some sort of time travel at the end so that X-23 can be introduced to the other X-Men movies?
Man, I would really...
This sounds like... It feels like a standalone, right?
I hope so. I feel
like that would be a little cheap. No offense to your question, Joshua, but...
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I think it's something that there's a precedent for it in the X universe. But
yeah.
I would hope not. I think after this, like, let's just start over.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as Jackman hangs up the claws, man, like, great. Let's take a little bit of time and let's do it right, because I think in general the X Men universe could use a reboot.
How many years?
It's been since 2000.
No, how many years between films that they can keep? You know what I'm trying to say? That they have to make a new film to keep the contract?
Maybe eight or something like that, but I don't know. Yeah.
That's a long time to me. Like, they can span 8 years between films and still keep the rights?
I think? Wow. I don't know.
I was just curious.
Every
you mentioned
contract
gives different
time.
I wonder
know.
How much time they would give.
I mean, I don't think
they
will, because it's their job to make money.
Yeah.
But in general, I would think that with this to me feels like a good place to end the current timeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Current Wolverine story, yeah.
Yeah, and all of it, too. And, like, get Mystique out of here. Like, I don't care. Like, Jennifer Lawrence, I don't think Jennifer Lawrence is going to want to do anymore. I think all of the actors that have been playing different X characters for the last however many years are pretty much done at this point with it creatively, it would seem. So, I don't know. I think this is a smart way to end...
Yeah, and I've never like, no offense to Jennifer Lawrence, but I've never been a fan of Mystique as a hero, and like then she's like leading the team
at the
end of Apocalypse.
Of the X-Men.
What?
I hate that.
Yeah,
do you think that's more
of
the writing or the way she's portraying it, you mean?
No,
I think they brought her on as Mystique when she was a young hot thing, and then she became who she became.
She became Jennifer Lawrence.
And they're like,
well,
now we have to sell those tickets, like put her in the middle.
Gotcha.
And it's like, no, but I hate that. It feels like stunt casting and stunt writing. Make her Kitty Pride. She'd be a great Kitty Pride. And Kitty Pride fits that role better. She's the one that holds people together and can lead the team. But Mystique, I don't care about. I never have. I think it's cool, but I don't believe it.
You're not as invested.
No.
Yeah.
And why would this constant anti-hero and often villain be the center of the X-Men, who are a family and
the
good.
Only reason is because Jennifer Lawrence.
Correct. Yeah. And that I don't like. That's not good enough.
I have
for
a hard time believing they would all trust her that easily, too. At the end of that movie, it was all kind of like wrapped up nicely.
Yeah.
you know, is like, oh, I just killed a lot of people. I'll see you later, Xavier. Like, yeah. See you Taco Tuesday.
Like, I mean, the end of that movie also had, like, Storm.
Yeah.
And, like, Magneto. Like, suddenly Magneto destroyed half the world, by the way. Yeah. And Professor X is like,
I always feel like a jerk, okay, though, Eric. Like, crapping on these films. Because, like, I couldn't do better. Like, if I was entertained, I'm fine.
No, for sure.
But you, taking a critical look to it is, you know.
And then just based on the fact that they've had successful storylines in the comics for decades.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No, that's a good point.
And like, Marvel Studios has proven that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do the characters justice. And even Deadpool. That's what was so exciting about that doing so well, is that that was that character.
Yeah.
And on paper, that shouldn't have worked as well as it did.
Mm. Yeah.
But because they did it right, it works.
Yeah. And I do think that Deadpool is going to be the start of a new X-Men universe. I think Deadpool's going to be somewhat wrapped up in New Mutants. Deadpool 2 is going to start probably bringing those guys in as well. And then we're probably going to get like an R-rated X-Force.
Man.
Out of that. I think that's the direction.
What an amazing precedent that film started.
I think that would be
the
smart direction for Fox to take.
Yeah.
What if Deadpool just like shows up at the very end of Logan, and it's like a dream? It's been Deadpool's dream,
the whole time.
It's very like Dallas, like, oh, what a troll, an ultimate troll.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I love their banter, by the way. I love watching their Twitter feeds. Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds. Oh, that's fantastic.
So let's jump back to the trailer real quick, where we saw, so we get that whole opening sequence, and we see like Logan very like unwillingly being a father figure, like, no, don't.
But he seems to care for her at the same time. I think he's like fighting his own feelings. He's like, man, I forgot I had these feelings.
Yeah. We also see that X-Men comic books exist in this universe, which I think is interesting. I think that's a really cool twist,
I'm
too.
I'm always funny about that. I always like, it's just so on the nose, but I guess I'd have to see the whole, how they play it out.
It can't be. Because
it would make sense in that universe that if there were real superheroes, there would be stories written about them. There would be comics, but for some reason, just to see the source material, like, literally in the cinematic universe's hands, it's like, that's weird.
I agree. That was my initial response, but then, like,
looks like we got an X-Men fan. Like, what?
But I think they're getting, I think they're using it, from what I can see in this trailer, it seems that they're using it smartly.
Yes.
Because what he says is, got ourselves an X-Men fan, maybe a quarter of it happened, and not like this. And, like, you can hear the pain in his voice, and, like, the page that he looked at, Joe Quesada released that page. He did all the artwork for it, which I think is cool.
That is so cool.
And James Mangold worked closely with Joe Quesada on here's what I want on the page.
Cool.
Which to me says those pages end up kind of somewhat informing what Logan has been through.
Yeah.
I think
it's the history.
Yeah.
So do you think they'll do like a montage of her reading the comic and kind of seeing like?
I think maybe she comes
that's
with
how
questions
we get
like,
up
"Is this
speed?
How it happened?" And he's like, "No, that's not how it happened." But like,
legs are much bigger than that. They should have drawn my claws are much sharper.
That's his biggest concern.
Yeah, it's not snipped; it's snicked. Come on, guys! Like, he starts critiquing it. I just hope they don't overuse it.
I don't think so, but I bet in the comic is something that hits him hard.
Mm. Yeah,
and I think
absolutely.
They're going to use it as a pretty brilliant storytelling device.
Like maybe a misrepresentation of actual events?
I think it's all misrepresentation, and then I think there will be an actual representation of something that happened.
Yeah.
And it might be a little askew, but I think
but
he'll
might, like,
see something. Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which I think would be cool.
Yeah.
And I think it will end up being somewhat akin to what we saw in Old Man Logan.
In the book?
In the book. I don't want to talk. Well,
yes.
Remember the big spoiler in
Old
Man Logan,
the big turn.
We don't want to say it here. Go read Old Man Logan,
seriously,
though. God's sake,
it's
like
so
Immortal
good.
Iron Fist and Old Man Logan. That's your homework for today, audience. In Old Man Logan, you had that big twist.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to do something like that in the film, where like Logan is specifically like
he
culpable
finds his
for
ground.
Something.
He finds his center there,
and
he
ends up seeing that event in the comics, and I think it breaks.
Interesting.
Him.
Okay.
I want to see that,
or it makes him he's
true.
Just like
that's also true.
Gonna fix it. Gonna make good on this. I gotta, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's gonna be exciting.
Yeah.
But I know the comic book was definitely took me by surprise.
It took me back too,
like,
and then like I gave it a little more thought.
But
and
I like so much of what's going on that I'm like, I'll trust
it.
You.
Yeah, that's how I felt. It's
well,
good
let me also throw out. They had an interview. They talked a little bit in Empire Magazine. We have some new pictures we can run through there. But they described this as an unconventional superhero movie that's a Western cross with a road movie. Jackman told Empire, it's a darker version of Little Miss Sunshine with the three of us on the road and slightly more violence.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
And then he went on to say, the idea of a road picture with Logan, Laura, and Xavier in an average car was a driving image for me. Taking heroes and putting them in normalcy, and nothing makes them more normal than to cram them into a car and make them have to deal with each other.
Yeah. And those are probably some of the best scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It's kind of like a bottle episode where you're like forced to just like talk to each other and deal with your nonsense. So we get to see in the trailer the Reavers, led by Boyd Holbrook, playing Donald Pierce. And this was one of my favorite moments in the trailer as well. And I thought this was a very telling moment where he says, you know, that whole scene, where's the girl? They beat up Jackman. He's like, go get her. And the Reaver goes in. And then she comes out with the handcuffs and drops them. Mm-hmm. And then you see Boyd Holbrook as Donald Pierce, a cyborg, a grown man cyborg with enhanced limbs, go, no.
Yeah.
Like, he's legit
scared of her.
Scared of this little 10-year-old girl with sink, like, and her claws are baby claws. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not.
And I love how cartoonishly large they made she was holding, like, chains. Like, they were so cartoonishly large compared to her.
Yeah, she's like, drop.
Oh, that was so great.
She throws him. She's mad. Yeah. She's throwing a little fit. It's so exciting. And two, that little scene with him, it implies a relationship there. Like, he probably was in charge of her training and has been part of, like, her indoctrination and the weaponization of her, which is really sad and exciting.
Like, well, and in a way, that also makes him, like, a father figure.
Yeah.
On, like,
the other side of it.
Like, the other end. He's a foil to Logan's.
More daddy issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
This poor girl.
It's so exciting. And, oh, what was I going to say? I don't remember. Okay. Next. It'll come back to me, maybe.
Click.
So, anyway, the last thing that I wanted to point out here is that we also see Richard E. Grant's character of Xander Rice walking out of the helicopter, and he's supposedly the big bad behind the creation of the Weapon X, or, like, the reinvention of the Weapon X program. He's the son to, I want to say, Dale Rice, one of the scientists behind initially creating Wolverine's Weapon X. And his son Xander goes on to recreate it, I think. So we only see the one shot of him, and it's not exciting. It's just like, oh, there he is in a trench coat.
Do we also see, according to Joshua Wright, and I'm not sure if he's right or wrong, but he says there's also a moment where we see her foot claws. Did I miss that?
I don't remember seeing the foot claws. It's entirely
You're probably
possible.
Right. We just didn't catch it. Just that's maybe just kind didn't of catch awesome. It,
but I hope so.
I know. I mean, I think painful. we're going to get him at a certain point, for
I think
sure.
So. I really
just
hope so.
Just like a little kitty. And
then I don't know if you guys covered this maybe last week, but Mangold confirmed there's no Mr. Sinister.
Yeah. We didn't cover it, but yeah.
But that was, I mean, but I liked his quote that he said. Which is, now that you've seen some of the movie, I think you get a better sense of it. That's exactly the kind of thing this movie avoids, meaning the kind of operatic, highly costumed, stroboscopic villainy. That's not in this movie.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of as real as we can make it. The movie's trying to kind of take a step backward from that kind of spectacle so that we get another kind of gain, you know. There's that loss, but the gain is that the movie feels extremely real and is, as one person who saw the film said to me, I feel like I could go down the street and run into that Wolverine.
That's cool.
So that's exciting, because my brother and I have been in a debate, like, are we going to see Sinister? I'm like, I don't know, man. He's like, why would they do the Essex thing if they're not going to have him? And then that, we both read that and we're like, cool.
Yeah, that's
that
awesome.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
And I love it that it's so thought out and so meticulously planned and crafted.
Well, and I also, like, I think that the reason for that is that Fox, like, went to to Logan. They went to Hugh Jackman and said, hey, we want to do another Wolverine picture. And he said, this is it. This is the last one I ever want to do. And they said, you know what? That's awesome. Great. You do what you want to do. Like, you've been with us for 17 years now. Do what you want to do.
I imagine having that much trust in someone.
I don't think that's how it happened.
You know?
You don't think he wrote it, directed it?
That's what Hugh Jackman said.
Really?
That's from Hugh Jackman.
He and Mangold went and they're like, this is what we want. And they laid it all out. And then they were like,
that's still amazing, though, to have that much trust in an actor that he will carry it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Fox seemed to say, what do you want to do? Or they said, this is what we want to do. Whatever, whoever came first, Fox said yes to it.
That's correct. And I think they came first. I think the creative team came first. And then the studio was like, cool, man, just, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Is it going to make us money? Sweet.
Done. Yeah.
Done. Sweet, sweet cash. So we should move on very quickly and talk about New Mutants just to close it out. Anything else you guys want to say about Logan?
I cannot wait.
Mm-hmm. Legit can't wait. I've never been excited for a Wolverine movie. Like, I've liked the Wolverine. I've just never been like, Wolverine! Yeah, but this one, I'm like, oh my god, get here now. let's talk real quick about the New Mutants. Last week, that hashtag show came out with four what they believe are casting announcements. What would you call that? Character breakdowns?
Breakdowns, yeah.
And they are for Chris, a 17-year-old male who is a tall, corn-fed Kentucky kid. Anna, a 17-year-old female. Russian, sexy, with an obvious mean streak. Rob, a 16-year-old male. Brazilian, cool, confident, and extremely handsome. And finally, Jessica, 16-year-old, British punk rock shorn red hair and waif-like. And that very on-the-nose describes Cannonball, the corn-fed Kentucky kid, Magic, the sexy Russian who's obviously mean, Sunspot, who's Brazilian, cool, and confident, and Wolfsbane, the punk rock shorn waif-like person. So
I love that they have Magic being the mean streak thing. I love that it's in there. But I think it's just me reading way too many of those over my time here in LA. But I hate those breakdowns. I hate those descriptions.
Well, and I hate that it's like 17-year-old sexy. It's like, whoa.
It says must be adult, but also like, you know, whatever.
You've probably seen some really bad ones,
I've
too.
I've seen terrible ones. I just have
borderline
such a
racist, all sexist.
But the characters themselves are so cool.
Yeah.
I hope they do them justice.
Yeah.
That makes me cringe a little.
The character breakdown, sure. and hopefully we'll get casting soon because they're supposed to start shooting, I think, in May.
I love that image that's up there of Sunspot.
Right, of Sunspot. Isn't that cool?
I think that's such... He's always one of my favorite character designs.
So let me just very briefly give you the rundown on who these characters are. Cannonball is kind of like the leader of the team. He's Sam Guthrie. He's from Kentucky. His power is that he can fly, but when he flies, he creates like this invulnerable blast shield. So he literally turns himself into like a guided missile cannonball sort of thing.
That's rad.
He's always been one of my favorite characters.
Me too.
Magic is a very tricky character. She's the younger sister of Colossus.
Pyotr Nikolaevich Rasputin.
Ilyana Rasputin. Her mutant power comes on pretty late, but she can kind of create teleportation discs that allow them to go anywhere in the world. But then she ends up being pulled into limbo with the demon Belasco, and she becomes the demon child and forges the soul sword. She's supposed to be like 17 years old.
Okay. And so, they listed her as sexy.
Yeah.
That's like, no wonder. Actor
must be an adult 18 or over or legally an emancipated minor, Russian, sexy with obvious mean streak. That's the full character.
They're legally allowed to be sexy.
Yeah. But it is kind of like, what they're supposed to be in high school. don't talk like that.
I just don't like that. To me, here's why I take
issue. That's not a character either.
Just
like,
sexy.
Sexy's not a
Shut
character.
Up. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't, why don't you get like, how about we get a attribute for them to play?
Yeah.
Why don't we aim for something like mean streak? That's really the only thing that is interesting.
That.
And there's no call for anything other than physicality in all of those breakdowns,
which
I understand that's how it works.
But
that is a bummer as an actor to be like,
do I get anything
else? Give me
else?
Something.
Yeah.
Like, let me do something, which will be in the sides and yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
But, yeah. Anyway.
But she's a tricky... I've never had a full handle on her.
Me either.
Like, because she has, like, some sort of, like, mystic powers that come from her time spent in Limbo as the leader of Limbo, but...
She gains powers when she's there. She like sells she sells a part of her soul or makes some kind of deal.
Soul sword.
And then with that, at certain point, she gets like crazy legs, like demon, like hoof legs and stuff. She's always sort of felt like when they were writing her, they're like, and then what if, but then what if also? And it's just like, come on, fellas.
You know what I mean? Like, eyes, but her arms are sharks.
Her arms are sharks.
But they're demon sharks and they're limbo shark arms. for me, it was always, I mean, because Colossus is my favorite of the X-Men.
Yeah.
And it was always, I always liked that he had this younger sister that he had to protect. And when we first meet Colossus for the first time ever, he's on the farm in Siberia.
Is it a shark farm?
It's a shark farm. It's amazing. Giant size very X-Men dangerous. And he's just doing reps with a small
hammerhead.
With
remorse.
He's got it by the eyes. But he, Ileana's playing in the fields, and a tractor gets out of control. There's like a runaway tractor. Somebody falls out, whatever, and it starts barreling towards her. And you don't know what he can do yet.
Yeah.
And you just see this, like, strapping young lad, like, book it. And I forget the description, but it's a beautiful description of how, like, without restraint, he puts himself in harm's way.
Yeah.
And all the young mutant can think about is how will his neighbors ever afford a new tractor? And that the reveal is him in metal form with the tractor just in ruins around him, and Ileana safe. And she's like scared. And it's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's like, and in that moment, he's selfless. He's heroic, powerful, and compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately awesome. Thinking about the other
person.
Yeah,
like how will we ever...
How collateral damage is not allowed on his watch.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so important. So I always... Ileana's always had a special place in my heart just for that moment alone. And then later she was used... She stayed at the X-Mansion with them, and she was really good friends with Kitty Pryde and all this other stuff. But when she took this turn and became magic, I lost her. I don't know. I have not followed it.
I'm the same. Like, and like, I like her because she's got mystic powers and stuff, so she's somewhat related to Doctor Strange, which obviously like speaks to me. But even with that, I still can't get a handle.
We'll see what
her.
They do.
She's very much like Scarlet Witch in that way, where I'm like, so what's her mutant power? Like,
right.
Hex power? Okay.
We don't really know.
What? Yeah. So, Sunspot. Sunspot can't initially shoot fire. He can now. I think he eventually finds a way to like blast hot.
Wasn't he in Days of Future Past?
He was. He was, which could be problematic here, maybe. Different timeline stuff. But
kind of rewrote everything, to be fair.
Yeah.
True.
So, but Sunspot's initial power is that he absorbs, you know, energy from the sun, and then he can kind of, like, black himself out and become super strong. And that's kind of it. Like, he's invulnerable and super strong. He can't fly or anything. I think eventually he discovers, oh, I can fly and I can shoot fire.
Yeah.
So, then Wolfsbane, Ronnie Sinclair... is from Irish. She's from Irish. She's Irish. She's from Ireland. Get it right there. And she is very much like punk rock. This is one of my favorite drawings. This is from the Jim Lee X-Men cards.
Yeah.
Love this card. But she can turn full wolf. She can go full wolf.
You never go full wolf.
Never go full wolf.
Never
she
go
can
full
go
wolf.
Full wolf, though. But typically we see her kind of halfway between where she's just like a werewolf, and she has like heightened senses. Even as a human, she has heightened senses and stuff like that. So, but she's one of her most defining characteristics, one that I've always liked, is she's a tortured Catholic, and her power is very feral and like murder based. Like she rips people apart.
Murder based.
Murder based power.
Was that on the back of the trading card?
Yeah, murder based.
Murder based.
She follows the murder
10.
Track. Yeah. But like her power, like she feels like her power makes her evil and demonic, and she's constantly begging forgiveness from God.
Does.
Yeah,
I mean, even if you weren't religious.
Yeah, so like she's constantly begging forgiveness for who God made her. Like she's like, you
so
made me this way. Please forgive me for being this way.
Yeah, really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And Daredevil.
Yes.
And Daredevil. Yeah. So the trifecta of Catholic guilt,
tortured souls.
So but those are the four of the main founding members of the New Mutants. So to me, it's not surprising to see them in the lineup. But I thought it would be smart to like discuss them very quickly.
Yeah, they're exciting.
The other two that will hopefully end up being in it are Danny Moonstar or Mirage, and she can.
Thought so too. She's Scottish. Or is she Irish?
No, she
Moira McTaggart.
She's
is
from
Scottish.
Irish.
She's from Irish.
She's
Moira
from Irish.
Is Scottish.
Yes.
And Wolfsbane's Irish.
Yes.
Yeah, we had someone in the chat.
Danny Moonstar is Native American.
Yeah.
I can't remember which tribe, but Native American. And she can kind of read your brain, like read your mind, and then make your greatest fear into like actual illusions. Like, so like if you're like deathly afraid of spiders, she'll be like, oh, Matt Cook's afraid of spiders. You're surrounded by spiders. And like you can, like, they're actually there. Like, so, and then there's another character named Karma. Who can basically take you over.
Great. And,
like, make you do things. So, anyway, Brittany, do we have any shout-outs that we need to give? Or?
We've got some birthday shout-outs, yeah. We've got Charles Lee's birthday coming up next month. We also have Edward McCartney's. His was on the 20th. Zach Robinson, his birthday was last Saturday. Now you have to say your name like that, Zach. Robinson. And my personal favorite, we've got John Camelot. He tweets at us, any chance of a birthday shout out today, 24 yesterday, and ordered a Squirrel Girl Funko Pop to celebrate.
Yeah, you did.
That's a great way to celebrate. Yeah. Happy birthday, guys.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Yeah, happy birthday, John Camelot.
Happy birthday, guys. Thanks for being
here. Happy 24.
And most of the questions we actually answered during the show, so we're good there.
Yeah, just running back through on again. Yeah, sorry if we didn't get to you. We'll double check it up and talk to you next week when Koi and Markia will be back and everything. So,
and I will be replaced.
You will not. You cannot be replaced. You are my wife.
Definitely scraping the bottle of the barrel when you got me.
So not it's true.
Okay. You did great.
I'm self-aware.
You were great. This was so fun. I'm so glad I got to do this
with
you guys.
Let's just do a Squirrel Girl episode next time. Let's just what we talk about, what we love.
What would yours be? If we just talked about
Spider-Man.
What we loved.
Everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to, if I had to pick one character. I feel like I've already said so much about Spider-Man. I don't know. It might have to be. I might
you
have to dive into Colossus
most,
a little more.
Colossus,
yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
Yeah. I love Spider-Man.
Real quick, MCU Exchange is saying that maybe Cloak and Dagger have been cast as two young actors I've never heard of named Noah Gray Cabey. He was on Heroes, and Debbie Ryan, who was in Radio Rebel. I know nothing of them, but we'll talk about it.
And
we'll
for
talk
what?
About it for cool. Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger. They might have.
On the,
is that
what
confirmed?
Used to be ABC Family. Now is called Freeform,
and they're making a series.
They're making a Cloak and Dagger
series. I
missed all
of this.
Oh man, yeah, they're shooting it in New Orleans starting this year, so casting has to happen soon. So it makes sense that this would happen. It's not, as far as I know, it's not confirmed. This is coming from a website called MCU Exchange. Hey guys, we like the MCU Exchange. They're good friends, but they're claiming that these guys have been cast. So we'll talk
about
it more next week.
Yay!
So anyway. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being on our show, guys.
Thank you.
When is Man with a Plan on?
Monday nights, 8:30 on CBS.
Oh, all right.
Are you good in it?
Listen. Yeah.
Not gonna
own
lie.
It. Own it.
It's so fun. Check it out, guys. I've been having the time of
Seriously,
my life.
Seriously, congrats on that.
Thank
really
you.
Happy
so
you.
Fun to watch you. And at B Wallach.
At B Wallach. You know, all those great tweets I do. You can actually follow my little Instagram where I make miniatures. I know you're
just started making miniatures.
Your fans are huge miniature fans, but if you guys want to follow my work, it's at These Little Worlds at Instagram.
Yeah. So write it down. Yeah. Go follow
on it right
now. Follow
my
lovely
art.
Wife on her. It's not stupid art. It's wonderful that you do it. I think I'm gonna start appearing on Screen Junkies a little bit more often.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Screen Junkies News. Geek and Sundry, we're creating a couple shows over there, so hopefully you'll see a lot more of me. Well, I mean, hopefully for me. I don't know if it's hopeful or for you, but anyway, that's our show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next
week.
Thanks,
everybody!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.